Don't miss the world's premier Christian Counseling Conference event, the 2025 AACC United World Conference. It has sold out the last 10 times in a row, and this one is shaping up to be the best one ever. Returning to the magnificent Opryland Hotel in Nashville, September 2025. With amazing plenary experts, over 50 leading pre-con workshops, over 25 counseling and recovery tracks, and over 175 clinical, academic, and biblical workshops, so you can tailor the conference to meet your personal and professional goals. This year's World Conference features world-leading and dynamic experts like Kurt Thompson, Henry Cloud, Tyler Vanderweel, Harold Koenig, Tim Timberlake, Gary Chapman, Daniel Amen, Lisa Turkhurst, Jenny Allen, Tim and Zach Clinton, and so much more. Enjoy incredible praise and worship with special guests, Chris Tomlin, Katie Nicole, and Micah Tyler. I see grace. Hallelujah, I stand amazed. Make plans to attend now. The World Conference has sold out the last 10 times in a row with nearly 7,000 counselors and mental health and ministry leaders from all 50 states and 40 different countries represented. Register now for the best savings at worldconference.net. That's worldconference.net. The 2025 AACC United World Conference. See you in September.
Welcome to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. And on behalf of our hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, thanks for listening. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help AACC equip the church and provide Christian mental health care to those in need, visit AACCFoundation.org to donate. Your gift will ensure that this program and your station remain on the air. Now, let's join our hosts, Dr. Tim and Zach Clinton.
Hey, thank you for that, Jim. That was Jim Kress, a dear friend. He's the voice of Life, Love, Faith, and Family. He's also a licensed therapist and contributor to our AACC, the American Association of Christian Counselors, educational programs around here. He specializes in addiction recovery. Great guy, big heart for helping other people, and God's using him in a big way. And another colleague joining us is leading Christian psychiatrist, Dr. Carl Benzio. Carl is Zach's guest up on the broadcast today and tomorrow. You're going to love the interview. It's really on point for who we are and what we do and what we stand for. Carl's the medical director of the AACC. He's a licensed physician with a specialization in psychiatry. He is also the co-founder of Honey Lake Clinic. That's a holistic treatment center that applies biblical principles and support for treatment and the recovery of patients throughout Florida. Honey Lake Clinic. Dr. Benzio's expertise in psychological and spiritual principles is decision-making sciences with application to every facet of psychological health and functioning for people from every walk of society. There's a lot of great information to unpack today and tomorrow. It's a two-part series. I hope this will benefit you or someone you know and really help improve mental well-being, maybe create a sense of understanding and peace, and perhaps you can share the broadcast with someone else in need. A little compassion or soul care. So without further ado, let's join my son, Zach Clinton, licensed professional counselor in residence in Virginia, and Dr. Carl Benzio in a conversation we've entitled The Intersection of Theology and Psychology on Life, Love, Faith, and Family.
Dr. Carl Benzio, my friend, thank you so much for joining me today.
Hey, great to be with you, Zach, and all your listeners, brother.
Always a blessing getting the opportunity just to spend time with you and glean from your wealth of wisdom and knowledge. You are someone who is constantly traveling, constantly playing pickleball if you're not traveling, but you're a man who wears many different hats, someone that has been a lot of places and spaces, has been able to impact and influence a lot of different people. You serve as our medical director here at the American Association of Christian Counselors. But on top of that, you're also the co-founder and chief medical officer of the nonprofit Christian ministry, Honey Lake Clinic. What is Honey Lake Clinic? What's it all about? And what was the inception of that like?
Yeah, Honey Lake Clinic is a very unique residential treatment facility. Today, if a person has struggled with suicide, anxiety, depression, substance abuse, they go to a locked unit or to a rehab. Mm-hmm. And so that Christian element of it and that sort of intensive psychotherapy part of it usually is missing from those programs. So as I consulted to many of those places and had patients go to a number of those places, I knew there was something different that God wanted mm-hmm. and for us to be able to put together. So I combined that psychiatric background I have with my faith background, and we put together a program that really integrates spirit, mind, and body, cutting-edge psychiatric science from a biblical worldview. So we bring Christ and the Bible into everything we do, but we also really get at the nitty-gritty of what's going on inside a person to help them understand, well, how do I grow my relationship with God, understand the Bible, and apply the Bible to my everyday living so I could have a much more flourishing life and really achieve the God-given potential that God designed in me and for me.
You guys are doing incredible things at Honey Lake, and you're doing incredible things in just the work that you do and your obedience and service to the Lord and helping people find freedom and break free of really just the bounds of, let's just say, struggle, challenge, pain, adversity, so many things that hold people back and in bondage in their lives from experiencing the abundant life for which God created us. Today, we're going to have a very pertinent conversation, in my opinion. I think a lot of listeners are going to be very open to the idea of hearing from someone who is a professional in the field what it actually looks like and what it means to prioritize not just our spiritual growth and development and discipleship, but also our mental health and what that looks like to flourish and what that looks like to build resilience in our lives, because we know there's a shame and a stigma around mental health or mental illness in our day and age, but being able to say, you know what, we need to grow holistically. That's really what matters, because I believe where we neglect our mental health, we actually stunt our spiritual health. So it's important to have both. But to begin, Carl, up front, you have a unique testimony. What got you into the field of mental health care? Speak to all of our listeners as to a little bit about your story.
Yeah, well, ever since I was 5 years old, God laid decision-making on my heart.
Yep.
I always wanted to understand decision-making, be a better decision-maker myself, help other people with decisions. I had a bad lisp, a bad stutter as a kid, so I was bullied, made fun of, got hit in the back of the head, get that word out kind of thing. We moved around a lot when I was a little kid, so make friends, lose friends. After a while, you just don't make friends anymore because you're afraid you're going to leave them. But you know, I played sports, so was very involved in sports, did things at a national level, so felt pressure. You wanted to be inside that inner circle with guys, but you knew you were going to move too. So I developed anxiety, depression, started drinking a lot of other poor, inappropriate behaviors during my high school years. Continued to drink into college, ended up losing a baseball scholarship, Air Force ROTC scholarship, got caught cheating on a math test, an engineering test, and got put on academic probation, almost flunked out of school. Luckily, God gave me the gift of test taking, so I'm a really good test taker, and I got made it on the waiting list at my home school in New Jersey, and 2 days before the semester started, the registrar's office called and said, Carl, we've never gone this low on our waiting list before. It's a miracle, but we've got to your number. So you want to come in? I said, that's all I've ever wanted to be is a psychiatrist, somebody who helped people understand decision-making better. And so in the middle of medical school, kept on doing the same things I was doing, figured, oh, it's working. And I ended up getting arrested for 6 counts of aggravated assault and a DUI, so I was in jail. And it was in jail that God spoke to me and said, Carl, you made me your savior when you were a little kid, but you never made me the Lord of your life. If you make me the Lord of your life, I'm going to teach you things about decision-making, which was what, everything I've been pursuing up to that point. I'm going to teach you things about decision-making. They're going to renew your mind, transform your life, and help you renew other people's minds and transform their lives as well. And I love me more than anybody else does. I care for me. I know my weaknesses. I know my sins. I know my future. I know my desires. I know my dreams more than anybody does. So I'm obviously the one who's best qualified to write that instruction manual. And I would write it, screw it up, rip that chapter out, rewrite that one, rip that chapter out. That didn't work. Rewrite another one. And whenever God spoke to me and I heard author, I realized that he's the one who loves me more than anybody else, knows me, understands me, cares for me, knows my future, knows my hopes, knows my dreams and desires. And he wrote the instruction manual, the B-I-B-L-E, the best instruction book for living every day. And so when I got into that and started to say, hey, if I want to be an expert in decision-making, let me start with Jesus's. He was a perfect decision-maker. Let me read his. So I got into the Gospels, read Jesus' decision-making, and it was about a 3 or 4 year period of therapy and humility and sort of turning over that instruction manual and using God's. And God put a wonderful woman, my wife Martine, in my life, yeah. and three girls, and so brought out a softer side, a less angry, yeah. you know, side of me, and with therapy and really yielding to the Holy Spirit and growing closer to God. That's where my curriculum sort of came out of that. Then I've been able to use in a bunch of different places, and God's taken me to Iraq, to Poland, to wow. Uganda, Kenya, AACC, all kind of different spaces to just share the miracle that God's, you know, done in my life to other people so they can, as you said, sort of live that abundant life and walk into their God-given potential.
We're grateful that God has allowed you, right, to continually blossom into just the man and the leader that you are, because you do have such a unique voice. And that's what I want to get to here for a second, because I wrote down, you're almost like an anomaly, where you are so unique in the fact that you bring such different perspectives, such different fields into an integrative approach, where you bring in the medical field, the psychological field, while at the same time, the spiritual and the theological side of things, and make it very faith-based. A lot of people would say, with new cutting-edge science, that is very difficult to make faith-based, but yet you continually rely on the foundation of hope and of God's word, like you said, the greatest instruction manual of all time, the Bible, and you integrate that into all the work that you do with people. Speak to why you continually prioritize faith in all that you do, and then also how do you do it in a culture and society that maybe sees those things as two divided things?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, sometimes I get the, you know, from the Christian side, it's like, yeah. Carl, you're a Christian. How can you be a psychiatrist? Right. Isn't that the evil side?
Right.
And then from my scientific medical colleagues, they go, Carl, you're a psychiatrist. How can you be a Jesus freak? I mean, you know, aren't those antagonistic? Those are yeah. opposites. And so I get those questions from, you know, from both sides of the spectrum. To me, you know, God's done this great comeback story that he's written for my life, and he's allowed me to walk into. So just the willingness to share that, and some people say I'm courageous to speak in legislatures and on TV or whatever, or not be afraid of repercussions or consequences or from the licensing board or whatever. But he laid down his life for me, so I'm going to lay down my life for him. And you know, if he doesn't promote you, you're not promoted. If you get promoted, and it's not him, it's not going to last. So I don't have any discomfort at all for speaking out and becoming that Jesus freak. But for me, I start with, obviously I'm a little bit biased, but he's the wonderful counselor and the great physician.
Yes.
And if you put those two professionals together, you get a psychiatrist.
That's it.
Right? And so Jesus is the perfect psychiatrist. Mm. And he came for our healing. And in the Bible, you know, he heals, I think, 29 or 27 people, but none of them are a psychological healing. They're all a physical healing. And I think that psychological healing doesn't happen because it doesn't happen instantaneously. Mm-hmm. It's a process that we need to work out, walk through, take in Bible doctrine, mm-hmm. Grow our relationship with him, draw closer to him, hear his voice in that process. And I think it works this way. If people would see with their eyes, meaning they see themselves, they see God, they see their situation clearly, mm-hmm. accurately, they see the truth, they see from a godly perspective, then they hear with their ears God's answer to the situation that they see. They understand in their heart how to connect the answer that they hear, God's answer, to their situation. But it's not enough to just understand it. They need to then trust it strongly enough that they're willing to put it into action in the form of a decision. So that's what turn is. Turn is taking action, putting the whatever that answer is in action. And Jesus says, whenever you put it into action in the form of a decision, you trust my answer enough, mm-hmm. healing occurs. And from a scientific standpoint, that describes neuroplasticity, mm-hmm. or the healing principle that God designed into our mind, into our brain chemistry, that allows our brain to change based on the decisions that we make.
Right.
So when we make good decisions, our brain chemistry gets stronger,
right.
chemically balanced, better circuit, or as the Bible says, renewed. Mm-hmm. Whenever we make a wrong decision, our brain chemistry gets injured. Chemically imbalanced, short-circuited, or as the Bible says, the reprobate mind, the degenerate mind, the callous mind, the hardened mind, the disobedient mind, the unrighteous mind. I mean, the Bible and science talk about the same thing.
Right.
They just use different vocabulary, right? And so that whole process of neuroplasticity, our decisions determine that sort of psychological sphere, our mind sphere,
yeah.
determines our biological sphere, mm-hmm. our neurocircuits, our brain chemistry. Neuroplasticity can go either direction. It can go either positively or negatively. Mm. The item that determines the direction of our decisions or the direction of the neuroplasticity is our belief system.
Mm.
So our beliefs determine the quality of our decisions.
Right.
The quality of our decisions determines whether our brain chemistry gets better or gets injured or worse.
Mm.
And so it's not just our intellectual belief system, because I can go to church every Sunday and say, God, you're my number one. Jesus, you're my Holy Spirit. I mean, Holy Spirit, you're magnificent. You're awesome. Jesus, you know, you're my all. Thank you so much for what you did. I'm going to give my life to you. That's the way I was as a kid growing up. They were not my number one on every Sunday morning, but Monday through Saturday, they weren't number one.
Right.
You know, I revealed in my decisions that I believed something else. Mm. Something else was at the center of my heart, the center of my life, the center of my universe. And God was, you know, some weeks 3, some weeks 8, some weeks 427 on my list of things I'm going to worship or things that are important to me. And so it's not this intellectual, what am I going to worship? But really in my inner being, in my essence space, in the inner core of who I am, what are my real belief system? Mm-hmm. And our decisions reveal what the essence of who we are is, or what our belief system really is. And so to me, that's where those three spheres intersect, come together, that psychological, biological, but spiritual sphere, because our belief system, what we believe spiritually about why we're here, our identity, our purpose, who God is, what happens to us when we die, what's important, what is love, what is service, what is humility, who's number one, who's going to guide my life today, all that determines then the quality of our decisions, which determines our brain chemistry. Mm. So to me, they all intersect at the place of decision making.
Yeah.
I can't understand why everybody, yes, every psychiatrist doesn't infuse theology into what they do. And I'm, you know, obviously sad that we keep them very compartmentalized, because we're not designed in a compartmentalized way.
Right.
And that's why I think we struggle a lot in our society, mm-hmm, because we try to just separate these things when we weren't designed for them to be separate. We're designed, mm-hmm, because they integrate. And so I call things psycho-spiritual,
yes,
because you can't separate.
That's right.
You know, every decision you make psychologically, there's spiritual infusion or content that determines that those decisions.
That's that brain-mind-body connection, which really is encompassing of the soul, right?
Exactly.
And being able to recognize that this is soul care work that we get the opportunity of doing, right? This is ministry in and of itself. And I love what you just stated, though, that decision-making really reveals that inner essence space, or reveals your belief system. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, they always say, like, believe behavior. When you're acting things out and your decisions that you're making every day, they really do reveal what you fully believe in and what you're fully are putting, in a sense, all of the stock in your daily life. And so I love that. I think that's a great piece that a lot of our listeners can take away from. If you want to know what you really believe in, look at some of the decisions that you're making. The next question I'll ask you, Carl, there's a lot of people out there, and I know, and you know, a lot of people who love God with their entire heart, who attend church regularly. They do all of the things that they believe, right, faith and, in a sense, religion require. But at the end of the day, they still struggle with mental health, and some people struggle with mental illness beyond just like anxiety and depression and addiction. There's also things like bipolar. There's personality disorders, eating disorders, suicidality. And I think sometimes the church is not so equipped to be able to meet the needs of today's generations when it comes to mental health. And there still is a sense of shame and stigma around, well, hey, you know, isn't the church enough? Isn't just reading God's word enough? Isn't just going to Him in prayer enough? Yet why do you still struggle with certain things? And sometimes that language or that conversation can actually be more detrimental than it is beneficial for people. Speak to the importance of somebody out there who maybe is on the fence of, should I pursue like a counselor, a coach, a psychologist, a psychiatrist? Is that godly? Is that faith-based? What does Scripture say about it? Speak to the importance to that person that's on the fence today.
Yeah, that's a great point. And it's so prevalent in our society,
yeah,
at large, with stigma and shame, but especially within the church for a, yes, lot of the reasons that you're citing. You know, as I look at it, we often have this sort of pecking order in church that, you know, if 100 is the best you can be and 0 is the worst you can be, like Billy Graham and Mother Teresa, they're 95s. You know, the martyrs are 90s. You know,
yes,
the major donors are 85. The senior pastor is 80. The missionary that goes into the, you know, the crappy, you know, difficult places in the world are 75s. And the elders are 70. And the people that teach Sunday school are 60, and the people that volunteer in the nursery are, you know, are 50s, and then the people that are, you know, new Christians in their 40s, people that are depressed, anxious are 30s, people that are addicts are 20s, people that are criminals are 10, and people that are rapists, murderers are 1, kind of, yeah, thing. But if you look at Jesus as the 100, all the rest of us are between like 0 and 0.5. Right.
Yeah.
And but we have this way of sort of narcissistically spreading out that spectrum to make us, mm-hmm, look a lot better than we really are on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for everybody to realize that we're all on a healing journey.
Yes.
We all have struggles. We all have difficulties, and we need help.
Sure.
Another passage of the Bible that sort of resonates with me and reveals this a lot is the story of Lazarus. Yeah. So Lazarus is, sick. Mary and Martha send messengers. Hey, Jesus, your bud's real, having troubles. I think you need to get back and heal him. You're the answer. It's like, man, I'm really busy. I got stuff to do. It's going to be a while. Right. Well, he gets there and Lazarus is dead for 4 days. They're sobbing, they're grieving. Jesus is like, roll back the stone. They roll back the stone. And Lazarus, rise and come forth. Miracle. Lazarus raised from the dead. Well, the next thing he says is to the people next to Lazarus, unbind him. Because Lazarus had these death wrappings around his face, around his body that interfered with his sight. Remember, it's important to see clearly. Yeah. Interfered with his sight, interfered with his perspective, interfered with his viewpoint, interfered with his walk, his gait, his movement, his freedom. They didn't say to Lazarus, hey, Lazarus, unbind yourself. He said to the people next to Lazarus, unbind him. And he had these death wrappings around him, right? And so to me, it's a picture of us. We come into the world spiritually dead. Mm-hmm. And through Christ, thankfully, through grace, we're raised from the dead when we have our faith in Christ as our Savior. We're a new creation. We have new potential. We have a new power source, the Holy Spirit in us. Mm-hmm. Our sin slate is washed totally clean, white as snow. We don't get a brain transplant, right? Our brain, all our memories, all experiences aren't washed, and we aren't starting with a clean slate. So we have a lot of experiences. We have a lot of misinformation, misinterpretations, difficulties, hurts, losses, wounds that are stored there. And that's what we're using to make our decisions with.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of Christians believe that whenever they're saved, all that got washed away. Right. And all that junk, all those bad things that happened to them, the bad things that they did, all their sins, all that. Yeah, from a sin standpoint, from salvation, all that is washed clean. But all those memories, all that guilt, all that shame, all that whatever that is still there. Mm-hmm. And I think even if we look at Paul, Paul, has this passage in Romans 7 where he says, the good things I want to do, I don't. Yeah. The bad things I don't want to do, I do. Yeah. Woe be me, wretched man that I am. Even though in my mind I know the right things to do, like consciously I know what's right, but in my flesh, in my unconscious space, there's all this data there that makes me do the wrong thing. I think from a societal standpoint, we don't do a very good job of teaching how do we understand what's in that unconscious space, all those stuff that's been stored there all those years. Even though I try to push it down to the deepest basement levels, it still comes out in play and interferes and sabotages our decision-making process. Mm-hmm. And from a church standpoint, we just say, hey, you're a new creation. Forget all that stuff. You're free from that. You're not in bondage to that anymore. Mm-hmm. Move forward. Well, that's a process usually. Yep. It doesn't happen instantaneously. From a salvation eternity standpoint, that freedom is instantaneous. Mm-hmm. But from the bondage of this world, that's why Jesus said, unbind him, because we still have that psychological baggage, which is our death wrappings that we need unbinding from.
So good. And I think especially getting and receiving help from people who live in that faith-based space, right? Who have similar like-mindedness. I often think, and you heard my dad share this several times, God has no greater joy than using people as conduits through which he channels his message of hope and encouragement and motivation and forgiveness and grace and love to a broken and hurting people. And so when we recognize that people are here and they're trained professionals in the field, in that space, clinically excellent, yet also distinctively Christian, man, oh man, they can really help God in that process of unbinding individuals that are trapped in the bondage of whatever may be holding them back.
Hey, this is Dr. Tim Clinton stepping in to say that this is just part one of the story. I hope you enjoyed today's broadcast as much as I did. My son Zach will return tomorrow with Dr. Carl Benzio for part two of this insightful conversation on the intersection of theology and psychology right here on Life, Love, Faith, and Family. God's richest blessings to you and yours.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
Don't miss the world's premier Christian counseling conference event, the 2025 AACC United World Conference. It has sold out the last 10 times in a row, and this one is shaping up to be the best one ever. Returning to the magnificent Opryland Hotel in Nashville, September 2025. With amazing plenary experts, over 50 leading pre-con workshops, over 25 counseling and recovery tracks, and over 175 clinical, academic, and biblical workshops, so you can tailor the conference to meet your personal and professional goals. This year's World Conference features world-leading and dynamic experts like Kurt Thompson, Henry Cloud, Tyler Vanderweel, Harold Koenig, Tim Timberlake, Gary Chapman, Daniel Amen, Lisa Turkhurst, Jenny Allen, Tim and Zach Clinton, and so much more. Enjoy incredible praise and worship with special guests, Chris Tomlin, Katie Nicole, and Micah Tyler. I see grace. Hallelujah, I stand amazed. Make plans to attend now. The World Conference has sold out the last 10 times in a row with nearly 7,000 counselors and mental health and ministry leaders from all 50 states and 40 different countries represented. Register now for the best savings at worldconference.net. That's worldconference.net. The 2025 AECC United World Conference. See you in September.